Hello and welcome to another edition of the Byron York Show, the No Chit Chat Podcast. We're going to get right into it, and today we're going to get right into the Electoral College. Now, you all know that the Electoral College met recently and voted to elect Joe Biden president. So that is done. There's one more step left in the process. That comes on January 6th. Congress will meet and will officially ratify the Electoral College vote. They will declare Biden the president-elect. And that will be it until the inauguration on January 20th. But now, there is talk that some House Republicans are going to try to disrupt the ceremony. And this is a quote, quote, "Even after the Electoral College certified Biden as the winner of the election on Monday, some of President Trump's staunchest allies in Congress refused to accept his loss," the New York Times reports, "vowing that they could still reverse the results on the floor of the U.S. House of Representatives." And The Nation, the left-wing magazine The Nation, wrote, quote, "Republicans will take their assault on democracy to Congress, and it will be awful." Okay, so the idea is that these diehard Republicans will continue their assault on democracy with an effort to destroy the foundation of our system when the Electoral College results are to be ratified in Congress on January 6th. Now, even if some Republicans try it, it's not going to work. By the end of January 6th, Congress will have ratified the results, and that will be that. Now, one reason we know it won't work is because House Democrats have tried the same thing in the past. They tried it in 2005, and they tried it on January 6th, 2017, when Congress met to ratify the results of the Electoral College vote that finalized Donald Trump's victory. Now, back then, it was not as controversial. We didn't hear the talk about an assault on democracy. Now, neither the New York Times nor The Nation even mentioned that it happened. But it did. So, I wrote about this in my book, Obsession. This is early on in the book. The book is about the long effort to remove President Trump from office, which begins even before he's inaugurated. So I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to read the passage called A Weird Day at the Electoral College. I'm going to read that passage in its entirety, and we'll have a few things to say after that. But if you have the print edition and you're reading along, by the way, it's on page 34. January 6, 2017 should have been a day for formality and celebration in the House. On the celebration side, it was the day members were sworn in for service in the 115th Congress. On the formality side, it was the day a joint House and Senate session would certify the results of the Electoral College for the 2016 presidential election. Congress would finally, formally recognize Donald Trump's victory. The session began with members of the Senate walking into the House chamber along with Vice President Joe Biden, who would preside over the certification. An aside from me, yes, it was Joe Biden. Two senators and two representatives had been appointed tellers who would announce the electoral votes from each state and declare that the total seems to be regular, in form, and authentic. That was the phrase they used, regular, in form, and authentic. When the ceremony began, seconds after the results from Alabama, which was 9 votes for Donald Trump, seconds after they were announced, Jim McGovern, a Democratic representative from Massachusetts, rose to protest. Quote, "I object to the certificate from the state of Alabama on the grounds that the electoral votes were not, under all of the known circumstances, regularly given, and that the electors were not lawfully certified, especially given the confirmed and illegal activities engaged in by the government of Russia that were designed to interfere with our election," McGovern said, as Republicans began to boo from the other side of the chamber. Even though there had been news reports that Democrats hoped to persuade Trump electors to defect, McGovern's objection during the certification caught the ears of some Republicans. What were they doing? Were they really doing this? Well, yes, they were. Biden, having been briefed beforehand, was ready to respond. Quote, Sections 15 and 17 of Title III of the United States Code require that any objection be presented in writing signed by a member of the House of Representatives and a senator, Biden said to McGovern, reading from a piece of paper on the desk. Is the objection in writing and signed not only by a member of the House of Representatives, but also by a senator? Mr. President, the objection is in writing and is signed by a member of the House of Representatives, but not yet by a member of the United States Senate, McGovern said. In that case, the objection cannot be entertained, Biden answered. Okay. Republicans applauded as the process got back on track. Alaska, Arizona, Arkansas, California, Colorado. Then when the roll call got to Florida, another Democrat, Jamie Raskin of Maryland, stood to protest. Quote, I have an objection because 10 of the 29 electoral votes cast by Florida were cast by electors not lawfully certified because they violated Florida's prohibition against dual office voting, Raskin said. Debate is out of order, Biden countered, asking whether the complaint was signed by a senator. Not as of yet, Raskin said. In that case, the objection cannot be entertained, Biden said. The session was going according to a script that few on the Republican side had expected. Just the day before, a left-wing activist group called Americans Take Action had distributed a lengthy report outlining how Democratic representatives might challenge the proceedings, including by making objections based on obscure issues like dual office voting. The group even offered a sample script, just fill in the name of the state here, for House Democrats to use when they rose to object. After Florida, the clerk moved on to Georgia. At that moment, Democratic Representative Pramila Jayapal of Washington State rose. I object to the certification of the state of Georgia on the grounds that the electoral votes were not. Now, at that point, Biden interrupts. He's becoming impatient. There is no debate, he said. There is no debate. Jayapal plowed ahead. Mr. President, even as the people waited hours in Georgia, there is no debate, Biden repeated. There is no debate. If there is not one signed by a senator, the objection cannot be entertained. Mr. President, the objection is signed by a member of the House, but not yet by a member of the Senate, Jayapal said. It's over, Biden snapped, slamming down the gavel. Then Speaker of the House Paul Ryan, sitting beside Biden, behind Biden on the dais, began to laugh and applaud. Republicans joined in. After a moment, the process started and moved normally for a few states until the roll call came to Michigan. At that point, Democratic Representative Barbara Lee of California rose to speak. Mr. President, I object because people are horrified by the overwhelming evidence of Russian interference in our election, she said. Lee barely got out the word horrified before Biden began banging the gavel. Section 18, Title III of the United States Code prohibits debate in the joint session, he began. Lee continued, Mr. President, even with the malfunction of 87 voting machines at predominantly African-American, Biden cut her off again, banging the gavel. There is no debate in order, Biden said. Is it signed by a senator? Biden kept banging the gavel. Republicans booed. The objection cannot be entertained, Biden ruled. Minutes later, another Democrat, Representative Sheila Jackson Lee of Texas, rose. Mr. President, I object on the massive voter suppression that included counting ballots that were provisional, that denied individuals access to polling places. The gentlewoman will suspend, Biden said, before reading the rules one more time. Another bang of the gavel, and the count moved on. Democrats interrupted the proceeding five more times, including when Barbara Lee objected, quote, on behalf of the millions of Americans, including members of the intelligence community, who are horrified by evidence that the Russians interfered in our election. The process took far longer than necessary, but finally ended when Trump, with 304 electoral votes, was declared president. The purpose of this joint session having been concluded, Biden said with a little weary laugh, the chair declares the joint session dissolved. As Republicans applauded, Biden turned to shake Ryan's hand and said, God save the Queen. It was unclear precisely what he meant, but it seemed to be a mild joke to ease the tension of one of the strangest Electoral College certifications ever. What had the day meant? For many Americans, it didn't even make the news. But for some GOP lawmakers, it was a disconcerting experience. They had no idea what was coming in the months and years ahead, but the anger and the vehemence they saw on the Democratic side disquieted them. Quote, "It was one of the biggest moments for me," said Doug Collins, who nearly 3 years later would be ranking Republican on the Judiciary Committee as it debated impeachment. "I didn't know where it was headed, because of course we control the House and Senate, but it struck me as more than just odd that there was much more vitriol on a day that should have been a formality of just doing the Electoral College, pass that, and be done with it. So I took notice." Quote, "This has always been a perfunctory exercise," said Representative Steve Scalise, the Republican whip. "Calling the roll of the electors has always been something that nobody paid attention to, because it was just the final step of a foregone conclusion. And yet, leading up to this, you saw the left trying to identify electors in every state and convince them to change their vote. I had never seen anything like that before. It got pretty intense." Republican Congressman Jason Chaffetz of Utah, who was first elected in 2008, went to the certification of President Barack Obama in 2009. Back then, he and his fellow Republicans had a feeling they were watching history. "The tone of this one was very different," Chaffetz recalled. "They were mad. They were angry. They were self-righteous. And they were already convinced that something had been stolen from them. All we could hear was Russia, Russia, Russia." So that's the reading, that's today's reading from Obsession, Inside the Washington Establishment's Never-Ending War on Trump. It's my book, which, by the way, you might want to buy, makes a great holiday gift. But that's what happened on Electoral College Day, January 6, 2017. So, what's going on now? We have one Republican, Representative Mo Brooks of Alabama, who is talking about doing something like this. But there's no indication that it's going to work, just as it didn't work for Democrats in 2017. This is the forgotten history of the Electoral College and Donald Trump's victory. The Democratic effort went nowhere because House Democrats were unable to convince a senator to go along with them. Yeah, you heard it over and over. Biden says, "Is this signed by a senator?" And they say, "Well, no, not yet." Even if they had gotten a senator to go along with them, they would eventually have failed. It would have taken a bit longer, but they would have failed. By the way, when Democrats tried it in 2005, after the re-election of George W. Bush, one senator, Barbara Boxer, did go along with them. But again, it didn't work. Now, you have one House Republican, Mo Brooks of Alabama, planning to protest, and there is talk about a historic assault on democracy. Well, it's just not going to amount to much. It is unclear whether Brooks will persuade any senator to go along with him. On Tuesday, we heard that Mitch McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader, pressed his members not to participate in any protests. One of those who was thought to be considering taking part in it, Senator Ron Johnson, said he would not take part in it. So at the moment, it seems unlikely that any senator will join Mo Brooks or any other Republicans in the House, just as no senator joined the Democrats in 2017. So, the whole point of this podcast today is that when you hear some in the media talking about an assault on democracy, suggesting it is somehow unprecedented, just remember, this has happened before. It did not amount to anything in 2017 other than a premonition of the long efforts by Democrats that would follow trying to remove Trump from office. It did not amount to anything at that moment in 2017, and it will not amount to anything now, no matter what the media tell you about it. So, that is today's story. Thanks for listening, and join us again soon for another edition of the Byron York Show.